And this is the continuity of scripture class on Sunday morning, and we are in the series called Understanding the One Story of Scripture. We're actually on week 6, and this is a continuation. This is part 2 of Understanding Christmas Beyond. Understanding Christmas Beyond. Okay. Since the word... No, how... Let me ask you this first. How would you explain Christmas to somebody?
The promised birth of the Savior.
Because we don't find the word Christmas in Scripture. There's no word Christmas in Scripture. Actually, I looked up the English meaning of it, and it's the Mass on Christ's Day. That's Christmas. Because you would assume with Mass at the end of the word, at the end of Christ. But since the word Christmas is not in the Bible, you then explained it, Pat. It's the birth of Christ. And it's globally recognized, wouldn't you say? It's recognized now, mind you. It's not, I'm not saying believed. It's globally recognized. So the birth of Christ, John 1:14, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. And that's being born, isn't it? As we know it, taking on human body. And we see it in John 1:14, and John has already said in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Christmas is known as the incarnation. That's the Latin word for incarnation, which means God with us, God in the flesh. So the first time that we find the promise of the Messiah in the flesh is where in Scripture?
Genesis 3:15.
Yeah, it is. That's right. Genesis 3:15. Because we are told that the seed of the woman would be coming. Seed of the woman means that she's giving birth without help of a man. And this is a supernatural birth. And so that is the first time. And then, you know, we have Isaiah 7:14, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is, in the Hebrew, it means God with us, or with us is God, okay? Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom on earth. He will establish it, and even says in Isaiah 9:7, to order it. This is the kingdom that Jesus is ordering it and establishing it with judgment and justice from that time forward. So we often, don't you agree that we often forget the backstory of Christmas is in the Hebrew Scriptures. It's in the Hebrew Scriptures. They didn't realize what was going on, but they did in that they were waiting. The Jewish people were waiting and watching for the Messiah to come. There was anticipation. There was expectation. And so I'm going to jump over back to where we were, but some of you weren't here at that time. When we looked at the Magi, all right, when we looked at the Magi. So we're going to read, the back of your handout is a separate page that has Matthew 2, verses 1 to 11 on it. And let me ask you this, and I asked the group this when we started it last time, but who are these Magi? Okay, we answered some of that 2 weeks ago. Do they seem to be coming out of left field for you, or to you rather? Do they seem like, where are they coming from, these Magi? Did you ever get that? Did you ever have that question? You might not have that question now. Or how do the Magi fit into the one story of Scripture? Because we are studying the one story of Scripture. Okay, it is gone. And so let's look. And last time I read it through, and then you commented. So I gave you that pack, that last sheet of your handout, there's enough room to write your not objections, what you're seeing, observations, what you're seeing in the text, okay, about these magi. So, for instance, I'm going to read half of the first verse and see what, I want to see if you're writing anything down, because we're taking note of context, we're taking note of time frame. When we read scripture, we're taking note of the different characters, okay? So it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Wow, there's a lot to observe there. So what would you be writing? Now after, well, that's an interesting verse, a word. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Why did they have to say Judea? We talked about that last 2 weeks ago. In the days of Herod the king. Oh my, is that really who Herod is? Right. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Okay, they came to Jerusalem, but it says after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So what's the scoop with that? These are, you know, certain of the observations that you can be writing down. And where is he? The wise men from the east, where is the east? Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? How did they know about the king of the Jews?
Well, Herod thought he was king of the Jews.
Well, yeah, that's where I'm going to that. So when Herod found out that they were looking for king of the Jews, and he was king of the Jews, although he wasn't Jewish, we talked about that last time, but he got mad. There was competition that was arising, right? Then the Magi says, for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Whoa, wonder what kind of worship that is. Where is it in the east? And how are they going to be worshiping the king of the Jews? Is there a connection someplace? When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. And by the way, I didn't say last time, but that word for troubled in the Greek means agitated, like a washing machine. So he was troubled in that fashion. And all Jerusalem with him. They were troubled too. Oh, they must have some kind of connection there. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them. Where Herod inquired of the scribes and chief priests. Where he inquired about where the Christ was to be born. So he knew about this individual, the Christ. And Christ in the Greek means anointed, right? So, verse 5, they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. That's a very interesting comment, right? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So tell me what you're observing, and this could be based on what we talked about 2 weeks ago. Definitely. Because it's the same passage,
about
Michelle.
About the Magi is what you want to know?
About
the Magi?
Yeah, no, about Magi, about anything that we just read regarding them, yeah.
The gifts they brought.
Oh, the gifts that they brought, yeah. Okay. So you're having questions, like, about those gifts?
I found it interesting that you said, or somebody said, it was like one was for death, and one was for...
One was for deity.
Yeah.
And one was for royalty.
A lot of meaning in that.
Yeah. Yeah, gold would be deity.
Royalty.
And royalty, same. Well, royalty would be the gold. The deity would be frankincense, because the frankincense was put on the incense before the veil. That was before the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm.
The timing, too, because the first verse says Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and then further down is a young child.
Right, right. That's a giveaway, isn't it?
Yeah.
Time went by. So how much time went by?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we need
so
to know.
It took them a while to travel.
Right. But it's noted. It's noted in this passage about the time, too. David?
Yeah, it's interesting that Herod wants to know when they saw the star.
Right.
Because he wants to know how far back he has to go.
Yeah, to kill the babies. That's how we know, yeah. Because the babies that were killed, instructed by Herod to the soldiers, 2 years and younger. So, yeah. Michelle?
I think that you see, signs of, the genuineness of the Magi and what they're coming to do in this text, and the deceitfulness of Herod.
Yeah.
Because he's saying originally, where is he going to be born? And he's, well, first he's agitated, and, mm-hmm. But then he changes his tune and says, where is he? Let me come worship him. So mm-hmm. he's showing signs of deceit.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout the whole text of this passage, the Magi are consistent in why they're searching for him.
Yeah. And God is giving them direction, because they know not to go back to Herod to give him any news. Yeah, that's good.
But Kathy, I looked up Ephrathah.
Uh-huh.
I was curious about that. It's mentioned 5 times in the Bible. The one we're most familiar with is Micah 5:2. It's mentioned in Ruth, in Chronicles, and in Psalms. It means...
And Genesis, too. Did you say Genesis? Well, maybe it isn't.
No, it's where Rachel is born.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is the older name of the mm-hmm. Bethlehem mm-hmm. in Judea, and it means fruitful. But Ephrathah was the name of the wife of Caleb and the mother of a man named Hur. That was Hur was the grandfather of the Caleb that went into Canaan.
With Joshua.
Okay.
No, that I didn't know. Okay.
So,
okay.
Because I just wondered, where did the name Ephrathah come from?
Definitely, right.
It's from that mm-hmm. woman.
But you know what, when it says, because I've run into that comment that it's the ancient Bethlehem, but it's mentioned alongside of Bethlehem in the book of Ruth, because they came out, Naomi and Elimelech came out of Bethlehem, and they are called Ephrathites,
yes.
Which means fruitful. So it's the northern part, and we know this from the Tower of the Flock. It's the northern part of Bethlehem, and it was in Ephrathah that the Tower of the Flock had been situated, okay? And that's where near Rachel died.
And she was buried.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Ephrathah is important. And they say Bethlehem Ephrathah, too, because there's another Bethlehem in the scriptures, and it's in Galilee. And I mentioned it last time, and it's in 1 Kings, 2 Kings. I got to get it. It's in my notes someplace, but it's not jumping out at me. Although, no, I don't see it right here. Okay, well, let's go on to more observations. But thank you, Pat. Thank you for checking it out.
Yeah, I just think that's a very pretty word.
Yeah, and Ephrathah means fruitful. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like you said. Okay. Bobby?
I keep wondering, what was the single event that prompted the Magi to say, hey, let's start our journey and go west?
single event.
And the journey may have taken months or years, depending on what commentary you're looking at. It took a long time, but something triggered step one. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that in Scripture.
Daniel 2:28, I think it is. Daniel 2:28. Let's look at it. Okay, this is what prompted. I'm suggesting. This is what prompted it. Okay. Daniel was one of the Hebrew children that was taken to Babylon. And when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that really haunted him, he asked the wise men in Babylon to tell him his dream. He didn't say, give me the here's my dream, this is what I dreamt, give me the interpretation. He said, no, you tell me what I dreamt. And none of them could do so. So he threatened to kill them and also kill Daniel in the midst of things too, and his friends. And Daniel asked for time, and Daniel asked God to give him the dream, to reveal the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, so that he wouldn't have to die at this point, nor any of the other people. So that's what happened. God gave Daniel the ability to tell Nebuchadnezzar, this is what you dreamed. And when he did, Nebuchadnezzar thought Daniel was great, and he put him in charge of the Magi. It's in 220, I said 228, I just want to double check, because I always have a 48.
Magi is 248.
248, yeah, I was going to say, I always had that in my mind. And where is it? Then the king, okay, yeah, 48.
26 starts with the vision.
Okay, what's in 28 that I have that written down? I'm going to scratch that out, though, because it's really 48 that we need to see. Okay. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. And man, when I saw that, 15 or 20 years ago, everything is 15 or 20 years ago, I thought, that's the connection between the Magi knowing about prophecy, knowing about what God was going to fulfill. And two, Daniel's book is called The Times of the Messiah, has been known as The Times of the Messiah. And it's so much known, you know, I would say globally to a certain extent, different people, different places, because in the Talmud, the Jewish Talmud, which is Jewish commentary, the Jewish people are told not to read the book of Daniel or else their bones will explode, okay? Because it's considered the times of the Messiah. So Daniel is not much revered by Jewish people. So there you have Daniel over the Magi. And they are astute people. I mean, it was a mixture of astronomy and astrology that they were following at that time. But they were concentrated, and Daniel's writing this book about when the Messiah would appear. If you go to Daniel 9, in verses 24 to 27, you can find the date, that Jesus, rides into Jerusalem on the colt of the donkey. And because it was, well, it doesn't matter. And we've studied Daniel 9 in the past, and it's a fascinating study. But there's with that layout of that verses 9:24 to 9:27, it covers 173,880 days. All right, and it gives you the date of about. Some people disagree. About 32 A.D., okay, April 32 A.D., when Jesus rides into Jerusalem. Don't you think that was conveyed to the Magi? So here they're looking at something that can tell them maybe this is, you know, this is the time, and realizing they're coming at a different time of the year, but they were still looking into the stars in the sky, and they saw the star. Okay, what's with the star? Was it like the stars that we see at night?
Yeah.
here, do you think?
No.
No. How come?
Glory of God.
Well, my thought is a star. Our stars don't move, and it mentions that just at the end that when Herod said, "Go find him," that the star then did leave them and stopped over where the child was.
Right.
So I think that at least at that point the star was moving, the star. Mm-hmm. But also, if a star was like near enough to like be over a house to show them this is where it is, like things would be burning.
Burned up.
Like
right.
Stars are hot and burnt. Like, so I don't think it could be an actual star. I think it was God's glory.
Yes. Yeah.
That kind of glory.
Yeah, because I believe it was the glory of God, because let's look at Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 2, starting with verse 8. Let me just see. Yes? Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, we've got about 3 minutes, and then I'm inviting the people in. Because they are chomping at the... If they're out there, is anybody out there?
You know, all the cushions are soaked, so probably...
Oh, that's true.
Probably.
Okay. Look at Luke 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. We've heard this verse before with Charles Schultz, right?
Yeah.
And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Before the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The glory of the Lord. That's God's shining light. That's like Michelle said, the Shekinah. Glory of God. That's what, can you imagine what the Magi must have been thinking? Here they are, used to seeing this star and that star, and da 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 da. And they see the glory of God, this light that is, they've never seen before. And it was in the Bethlehem area, so they traveled, and they knew how to get to Bethlehem. They mapped it all out, and then when they got to Jerusalem, though, why did they go to Jerusalem? But Larry, you have a question?
I'm just kind of wondering why only the Magi saw the star, the light.
Why, well, I know.
Herod didn't see it.
No, he didn't.
And it wasn't until later that the shepherds saw it, so how come only the Magi saw it?
Right, and two, it shone so brightly, you don't read any of the people in Bethlehem pouring out of their houses, coming to see what this bright light is.
Yeah.
God's selective.
Okay.
I'm going to use that phraseology. And so they are on their way, and what was I going to say? The glory of God shone around them. They were greatly afraid. But to Michelle's point, too, the star did not lead the wise men. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Aren't we always told that? Don't we always think that? Oh, they led. That star led the wise men. Not according to what we read. That I just went through in Matthew 2, 1 through 11.
It wouldn't have led them to Jerusalem if the star was leading.
Right, and that's a good point. Yeah, did you say it would have led them? It wouldn't have.
And that's what you said. Why did they go to Jerusalem instead of Bethlehem?
Right, so I'm still asking that question. Why did they go to Jerusalem? Isn't that interesting, though, too? Because do we read things with our lenses when we read this story? Because when did you know that the Magi went to Jerusalem and not Bethlehem?
2 weeks ago.
Okay. No, that's honest. Right.
But isn't the city of David Jerusalem?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well then in 11, Luke 2:11, it says, "For today in the city of David." So
but
that's Jerusalem.
City of David is also called Bethlehem as well, because David was born in Bethlehem.
I'm saying that's probably why they went to Jerusalem. Because they were thinking Jerusalem was the city.
Okay, who were they looking for?
You're talking about the Magi, not the
shepherds.
Shepherds.
No,
oh,
I'm talking
okay,
about.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So we're talking about the Magi. Okay. Why did the Magi go to Jerusalem?
Didn't Herod say to his
bring the Magi to me?
No, they got to Jerusalem first, and then they talked to the, yeah. Camila?
And they were looking for a king.
That's it. Yeah. They were looking for a king.
And I really think that it was like a big group of people, not a small one, because all Jerusalem knew about them. If there were just three people...
No, and three people wouldn't last across that wasteland that they had to travel.
So it must be like a big group of people so that the whole city knew about them.
Right, right. But going to see the king, yeah, because what did Daniel write about? Daniel wrote about prophecies regarding Jesus' kingdom, and that he would die, but that he would return. And so they were looking for a king. I had read 15 or 20 years ago in a history book that at that time, in Persia, the king had been dethroned. So here's another tradition. The wise men were not kings. We three kings of Orient are, oh my gosh, three kings? No, they weren't kings, and there were more than three of them. It really appears to be the case. It doesn't give us the number. People tend, though, to think that the number three comes from gold, frankincense, and myrrh, okay? But they were king makers. Yes. They were looking for a substitute for the king who had just been dethroned in Persia. So that's what they were doing, and they came to Jerusalem. I just think it's fascinating. It's so the word of God is inerrant. It's without error. I was listening to somebody talking about that the other day, the inerrancy of the word of God. And it's if you find something that sort of makes you wonder in a verse that you're reading, cross-reference and get another verse to support what the other one is saying. And then you have a wonderful Bible study going on at the time. Larry?
So, Kathy, when you say that the Magi were king makers, and, you know, as we go through Scripture, you know, we always have a ceremony where oil is poured over the head of the king that is anointed. Was that a role of the Magi and their respective kingdom before they came to
see? Oh, I have no idea, to tell you the truth. I don't know.
Yeah,
but they were. But the main thing I think is because we know it's the case. They were their ancestors had studied with Daniel.
Yeah,
and that was passed on. That book of Daniel was passed on through that the Magi. Isn't that astounding? Isn't that exciting to hear that?
I think the other thing to consider is that in that account in Daniel. When Nebuchadnezzar would ask the Magi to interpret his dreams, they would hear a dream and then they'd go and consult among themselves and come back and tell them what they thought it meant. But this time he like threw them a loop and said, "Tell me my dream."
Right.
So Daniel is like setting the story, the account up for us to show us that Nebuchadnezzar put the situation in place where we were shown the supernatural power, right? Like Daniel came back and said, "I know this because God revealed it." And then Nebuchadnezzar says, "I see this, that you know the true God." Mm-hmm. So you know that the Magi must have kept passing it down through generation after generation. Like our lives were saved because of this man who knew God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that had been very powerful in them wanting to keep knowing the prophecies that Daniel had written and shared because it was tied to their lives being saved.
And
like,
also,
you know, like,
yeah, no, that
would
most
have been
definitely.
Powerful because the generations that came after would not have come after.
Right,
right,
right.
Like, I wouldn't be here.
Dead on arrival.
If Daniel hadn't done this.
Yeah, exactly. And two, Daniel's book is so much in the future as well. So, and I'm sure the Magi realize that. I'm getting my rabbis and Magi mixed up. and wanted to know more, perhaps, and then to go to see the glory of God shining, the mass of the light shining, and to go and search and to bring such a wealth. And had they, there's connection with Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6, there's connection about the wealth of the nations coming to worship God. So we haven't gotten there yet, but we will. We have time before Christmas. So I'm glad we started in October. I think the rooted people might be out there standing, so we better leave. And God, we thank you for this time. We pray, God, that you would give us such a hunger and thirst to know more.
Yes.
Lord, we pray that you would be glorified through it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen.